Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. This is episode number 89. I am your host, Beam Weeks, and with me is Mr. Stephen Jeeves. How you doing, Stephen?
I'm just thrilled to be here. It's a nice springtime Alabama evening. The azaleas are blooming like nuts. I've got probably 35, 40 bushes that are just gobbed with blooms out there. I love this time of year. It's so pretty. People who missed last week's show, it was a Jeeves Writer special episode, and you got to hear me talking about how to develop characters and how to develop dialogue, and so far that one's getting a lot of re-listens, so I want to urge people to go check it out. If you missed that one, check last week's episode, and always watch our newsletters, because our newsletters give you links to earlier episodes and stuff, but the Jeeves Writer How-To series and the ebooks that go with it, it's getting a lot of interest lately, so I wanted to do that. One other mention, too, our marketing guy, Sam Wilson, who we've talked about a number of times, hired him as a 16-year-old. He's turning 18 tomorrow. So we want to shout out to our budding 18-year-old marketing executive, Sam Wilson.
Happy birthday, Samuel. All right. Yep. Now, little news here. We signed 5 new book projects this week. So things are hopping at Fresh Ink Group. So keep your ears open and your eyes on our various websites and whatnot for some of these books as they come down. And we'll talk about them on this program as well. And speaking of talking on this program, if you would like to participate, we already have a caller. I see that on hold here, so it's cool deal.
Cool.
We'll get
stick
to that
around,
caller. Stick around. If you want to call in with a question or a comment or join us on Twitter, here's how you can do that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest. Or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
Be there.
All right. So we've got Robert G. Willis-Croft's book is out now. The Orc Federation to the Stars, the second Orc Chronicle. And it's starting to take off. It's getting some good sales. We're seeing some nice numbers. It's the sequel to his Icicle, a Tensor Matrix, the first Orc Chronicle. There's a pattern there. This is the first and second Orc Chronicle. He's working on the third one right now. This is cool, classic, character-driven science fiction. If you're a fan of the old, like Arthur C. Clarke, especially Robert G. Heinlein, that's the kind of science fiction with his own twist and his own style that this guy puts out, and I'm a fan of that kind of stuff, so I really enjoy his books. I want to encourage you to get out there, get your copy now. Let's get those sales up. And I also wanted to mention, too, that he's got another book, Operation Ivy Bells, which is the first in his Mac McDowell Mission series, is right now our number, it's just moved up, our number 4 bestseller in print right now for this week. So Operation Ivy Bells, a Mac McDowell Mission. He's got 3 Mac McDowell missions, writing the 4th one right now. Get out there and check those out too. That's books by Robert G. Willis-Croft.
Yeah. And Patricia A. Guthrie, her short story collection, Eerie Charms of the Short Story, that is officially released tomorrow. So get over to Amazon and grab your copy. Fantastic, fantastic collection of short stories. She's got a wonderful imagination, and she comes up with these really cool characters and really interesting situations. So if you're into short stories, get over there and grab a copy. And if you want to keep up with what's going on in the world of Fresh Ink Group, you can subscribe to our newsletter, and here's how you do that.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What?
Yeah. Now, I mentioned our print status. Just took a look a minute ago. This is no surprise. Hello, Chattanooga. Famous people who have visited the Tennessee Valley is our number one print seller as of today, for this week. And then, and this one continues to confound me in the most pleasant of ways, the rise and fall of a construction giant, the history, people, and stories of CFW Construction, which was a company based in Fayetteville, Tennessee. The author's father and a couple of other people started it, built it up into a major international company, had offices and facilities in seven states, and then they got caught up in bid rigging scandals, had a plane crash that killed executives, and some other things went on that got things, you know, very complicated. And eventually the company wound up going out of business. And he wrote the history of that company. And it's also a history of the town and its people and some of that too. And it's just fascinating. It's a big, thick book that's full of pictures and stories and documents and stuff like that. And honestly, I thought it would be more of a regional book, and I thought it would be, you know, more of a niche audience. But right now it's our number two print bestseller for this week. And then number three, There Must Be Something in the Water, Anthology of the Fourth Generation, Descendants of Green Pond After the Emancipation. And that's just a fantastic book. That's the African-American folks who grew up in Green Pond, South Carolina, and dozens and dozens and dozens of them went on to make great accomplishments and do wonderful things. And it's the story of those people and that town and that what you can accomplish in this country if you set out to work hard and make a mark. Fourth one would be Hello Chattanooga, or fifth one would be Hello Chattanooga in this soft cover. And then I already mentioned Operation Ivy Belt. That's becoming a classic, especially in the Cold War thriller series. This one's submarine book. I always think of that Geico commercial where the guy says, who else reads books about submarines? My dad. It's like, well, apparently it's more than just that guy's dad, because this is a very popular series. And there's three of them out now, a Mac McDowell mission. This guy's a hard-driving naval submarine officer. They get caught up in adventures and conquests and conflicts. And right now, it's in kind of a timely manner. Conflicts with Russia seem to be the thing that's all over the news. So check out that Mac McDowell mission series. So congratulations, people. We've got some good print book sales going right now.
Yeah, and speaking of books, we've also got two new audiobooks in the works, Jenny Wong's Girl Wears Those Shoes and Robert G. Willis Croft's Second Ort Chronicle, The Ort Federation. Those are in the works. Keep your ears to this show and to the newsletter for updates on that, and those should be out before too long. One's moving along a little quicker than the other, but that's just how the voiceover actors work. One's working a little quicker than the other one. But like I said, keep your ears open. Jenny Wong also has a website, jennywongauthor.com. So get over there and you can order a signed, inscribed hardcover edition of her book, Girl Wears Those Shoes. And we do have some new trailers over at the Fresh Ink Group YouTube channel. So get over there and take a look at those and leave a like and a comment. And if you're not subscribed, you know what to do. Hit that subscribe and the notice button, the notification button. So if you do miss any of these episodes of this show, whether live or you want to relive one of these episodes that became a famous or favorite of yours, here's how you can find them in the archive.
If you miss a show, find us in the archive in the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube, on Spotify, or under the podcast tab at freshinkgroup.com, beamweeks.com, and stephengees.com. On YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe.
All right.
Hey, I highly recommend you do that. Now, over on that YouTube channel, we have not gained a new subscriber in like 3 to 4 weeks. And it just breaks my heart. I was inconsolable the other day when I went over there and looked at that number.
Was.
I was on the floor
in
just
tears.
Weeping. Yeah, oh, it was terrible. So
it was a weeping and a gnashing of teeth.
And if that makes you feel bad, then get over there and subscribe, you know, or at least get somebody else to do it. So let's get to today's guest. Today's guest, we're going to call her Andrea. She's going by the author name A.K. Wingler. A longtime veteran of the food industry, A.K. Wingler has managed everything from snack bars to the finest restaurants. Well, you caught me on a hungry night, too. She started writing about food in college with a series of restaurant reviews and has since written the training manual for new banquet staff at prestigious The Manor in West Orange, New Jersey. She also traveled the world for Continental and JetBlue, sampling the wide variety of regional foods and checking out what's happening in the food truck industry. A longtime resident of Florida, she holds a Bachelor of Arts in Liberal Arts and is a graduate of the prestigious Le Cordon Bleu College of Culinary Arts in Orlando. She knows food. I need to get myself invited over for dinner some night. She and her partner enjoyed great success operating their own food truck. Wingler looks forward to helping make you proud of owning your own business. Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Welcome, Andrea.
Hi there.
Hi.
We are glad to have you on.
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I'll tell you, working on this book, I got hungry every time I worked on this because I was always out there looking at pictures of food and doing graphics of food and looking at food trucks and seeing all their menus and thinking, man, that looks like good food. And, you know, food trucks
are
hot.
Yeah.
Food trucks
they
are.
Makes you want to jump right in.
Yeah. I just watched the news segment. We got two big festivals coming here to North Alabama, Decatur and Huntsville, and they put the maps up on the screen saying here's where the stage is going to be and here's where the games and concessions are going to be, and then they've got like whole blocks just blocked off for, and here's Food Truck Alley, you know, or these three blocks, nothing but food trucks. Come on down. And a lot of people go down there for the food trucks. I go to a lot of these things just because I like to go check out all the different kinds of cool foods.
Absolutely, because there's always something different. There's always something new, some kind of quirky dish. So you always have to check out the food trucks. And going to a fair from a food truck point of view, that's where you can make your most money. That's the place to go.
Well, that sounds like excellent advice. And, you know, these people running these food trucks, they're not slackers who couldn't do something else. They're people who tend to love food and are good cooks. They have credentials or experience, good backgrounds working in restaurants, and they decided they just wanted to be their own boss.
Absolutely. The only thing is that you have to realize it takes a lot of hours and a lot of work, especially if you're working a fair. You pretty much have to stay in the area, but it's well worth it, and people working in food are always fun people. It's always a party, always a party.
Oh, yeah, those are good words, always a party.
Oh, yes.
So, Andrea,
So
where are you from? Where all of you lived, and where are you now?
Right now I'm in Orlando, Florida. I've been here for a number of years already, and I'm originally from New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Started my food career in New Jersey. Very nice.
All right.
When you had your own food truck, was that in Florida or in New Jersey?
That was in Florida.
Oh, okay, great.
That was here in Florida. That wasn't all that long ago, yes.
So did you move to
Florida?
Did you move to Florida specifically to start the food truck, or were you down there and decided to, hey, let's start a food truck?
Yeah, pretty much already down here. Still working with the airline. Well, the good thing about working for the airline is that it's super flexible, so you can always give up your hours or trade your hours, and you can travel and find out what's going on in the rest of the world. So it's quite a good thing to have in your pocket sometimes. But I was down here already in Florida. And having a food truck was something I always wanted to do, always, even back in New Jersey, and could never just get it together and whatnot. So just so happened, Bob and I had met through the airlines. We had worked together. We liked the way each other works. We're business partners. And we decided to go ahead and give food truck a try. And we really enjoyed it and had a lot of fun with it.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. There's Up here, I'm in Michigan, and food trucks have just taken off up here. They're all over the place. You see them downtown on the street corners. You see them in parking lots, you know, out in the suburbs. And, I mean, it's just the variety of food, too. It's everything from tacos to smoked brisket to, you know, hot dogs or whatever, but and just all kinds of different stuff. So, I mean, that's a huge growing industry right now.
Everywhere.
Very much so.
Yeah, I'll admit that when I first started thinking about food trucks, I think of like that place in Miami where they have like a whole fairground set aside, and every weekend they just fill it up with hundreds of food trucks and gobs of people come. But I picture this as kind of a warm weather thing. But, you know, I'm from Michigan originally, and they've got a million winter festivals up there. People go up there snowmobiling, and it's just all those huge gatherings in the wintertime to enjoy the winter fun. And food trucks, you know, with good hot food, hot drinks, things like that, lined up at these things with long lines going to them. So
yeah.
It's everywhere. It's not climate specific or regional specific or limited to certain kinds of foods or ethnicities or anything. It's like if you've got a bunch of hungry people and they're willing to get in line, put a food truck in front of them.
Exactly. Even if you're driving around, do you ever notice a food truck on the corner or something? And somebody in the car is going to go, "Ooh, what do they have? I wonder what they have at that truck." It almost makes you want to stop. Just because also it's something quick and it's something small, especially if you go to like a food truck rally, you can go get something at five or six different trucks. It just makes it fun. Everybody there is there to have a good time and just enjoy stuff. And you meet people and people sometimes bring their pets depending on where the festival is. And, you know, it's just a good community type of business.
Yeah. I'm also noticing, too, that I have several friends who are trained chefs and have restaurants or have run restaurants and stuff, and I'm noticing that it's also a good adjunct for some people who also have physical facilities. Like if you've got a kitchen and some space that you do carry out or something like that, adding a food truck or two to that business then also makes you mobile at the same time. Or the reverse, like, for example, in the Huntsville, Alabama area, we had a lobster roll truck that became very famous. I mean, it got down to people were signing up. They'd got an app, and they would download this app so they could get informed where is the lobster roll truck today, and they would go seek this thing out. And it got so popular that they started a second truck and a third truck, and then they opened a physical location that they operate out of. And you can also go to this
place. Are you
talking
about that place, Cousins?
No. In fact, we've got a picture of the Cousins is in your book. This one's a different company. It's the Lobster something. But I've just been kind of watching this one with interest, and they've turned this into a multifaceted business. So you can keep it small. You can just have a truck and make that your life, or you can have a couple of trucks, or you can add on to a physical business or vice versa. There's just no limit to the different business models that are available here, and that's why a book like yours is so excellent for telling people what kind of decisions to make, how to think it through, how to find the best route for you, and put your plan into motion.
Exactly, because there's all different kinds of ways to make money with a food truck. Like I mentioned in the book, I mean, you're a retired person and you want something to do, you can get a small food truck and go park by a beach somewhere and just have a little lunch business going on. You make some money for yourself for retirement, and it gives you something to do when you're out meeting people and having fun. I used to know a man down by Cocoa Beach over here. There's a little area where they allow dogs on the beach. And he would set up, he had a little hot dog wagon. He set it up in the little parking lot, and he would have just for lunch, just hot dogs and nothing even fancy, you know, where you can get some sauerkraut, some relish, nothing fancy. But he also would give, he had bowls of water for the dogs, and he would give all the dogs a dog treat. People loved it. People loved them.
Oh,
all the
wow.
That's the way, you know. So
you
can be small. Like I said, you can be giant, you can be small. You can, you know, there's so many things you can do.
Yeah
treating the dogs, that's just good community relations.
Yeah,
absolutely. So there's all little ways you can do things, you know, and if it doesn't work for you, it's not like you went into a big expense. Say you went to the, you know, you got some dog treats, but you were in a beach where there's no pets allowed and there's no pets to be seen. You didn't invest $10,000 in dog treats to try to, you know, boom your business. You spend a few bucks, okay, so the dogs don't like it, you don't do it again. You know, it's very flexible. It's one of my favorite words. It's very flexible.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's technically a food truck, but between high school and college, I wanted a summer job, make a little extra money so I could travel. I did the ice cream truck, and it was one of those things where you lease the truck from the company, and then they sell you the ice cream, and then I'd make like 30% of what I'd sell. And this was, I got to work at what time I felt like getting to work. And it, you know, it might be at 10 o'clock today, might be 11 o'clock tomorrow, wear a pair of shorts and moccasins and go out there and fight, work 6, 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever. If it was a nice, hot, sunny day and people were buying ice cream, I'd work it, make that money. And if it was a stormy day and sales were kind of slow, I'd go home a little bit early. But, I mean, this was mid-1970s when minimum wage was $2 and $2.25 an hour, and I could make $1,000, $1,200 a week cash.
Yeah.
Toward saving toward in the mid 70s. That'd be $3,000-$4,000 a week now, off an ice cream truck. And just think, if I'd had burgers or hot dogs or other stuff too, I could have really raised it.
Exactly. People think about it, you know, but they don't have any real. People who are looking into the business don't have a real good idea unless they're raised up in the food business of how much money they can actually make.
I'm
going to be in a street corner. You got to be in a street corner. You see how much money you can make on a street corner. It's not real hard, but you know, you have to be interesting. You have to have some personality. You can't just be an old grump and hanging in the window like, what do you want? You have to have, you know, you have to like people. If you don't like people, do not get into this business.
So it's not going to be any no soup for you.
No, it's a little bit of schmooze because it's community relations. You want to be the friendly food truck person that people are eager to see. That's the way it was, you know, even driving an ice cream truck back when I was a kid. It was like there were three or four other ice cream trucks that hit these neighborhoods too, but they all liked me. They waited for my truck to come around because I would talk to them, get to know them, ask them, how's your dog, you know, and things like that. And you just get to know your customers, and next thing you know, the next day, Dad's out there with his wallet, and he's got 15 kids around him, including a couple of neighbors that he doesn't quite know who they are, but everybody's getting ice cream today, you know?
It's
just a matter of working your people, and that's true with any kind of a food industry. If you're kind
any
of restaurant,
kind of a food industry.
If people don't want to come in and feel comfortable and friendly and welcome, then they're not going to come. If it's the community place where everybody knows your name, sure, they'll do that.
Yep. Now, we had an incident. This was totally customer service. You know, what would you normally do? Our internet went out. Like, oh no, people are paying with credit cards. Oh my gosh, what do we do? Okay, so the first person's up. They come and they order this, that, and the other. This is when I found out that the internet wasn't working. He orders like two hot dogs and whatever he had. And I go to ring it up. It's not ringing. Oh my gosh. I said, oh, sir, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm sorry the internet isn't working. I can only take cash at this time. Oh, my God, I don't have any cash. You know what, sir? Don't even worry about it. Have a lunch on me. Not a problem. Not a problem at all.
Our catch is tomorrow.
No problem. That's okay. You know, some people would go, oh, hey, you know, well, you know, can you borrow it? Can you do this or that? You can't get excited about it. You're better off. When things like that happen, to give away a free lunch, because that person's going to come back and it'll pay you back 2-3 times over.
And that person will talk about it a lot, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They were so nice. Yeah. One man ran all the way home and got his money and came back after the fact. He said, I didn't want you to not make your money. Oh, you're so sweet. You're so nice. Thank you. Yeah, they, you know, just you do things like that for people.
Yeah.
And it's good for your business.
And if they're regulars and you can't handle them today, they'll be back tomorrow or the next day, and they'll catch you then. So
Absolutely.
There's always a way to make it work.
You always have to be, you know, some people get so worried and they're so tied up with, I'm a new business and I just started and I can't afford to get. Yes, you can. You can afford to be kind. You can afford to be kind because it pays back later.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned about a lot of people don't realize the volume. That lobster roll truck that I mentioned, a friend of mine and I went to Huntsville last year just to check out a festival, and we were going to look for that lobster truck. And we bought a couple of lobster rolls, and we went and sat over on a low wall and watched. And, I mean, this truck had 30, 40 people in line at all times. The line never went away because as fast as they could serve people, they were getting in line. And I was sitting there figuring, you know, this is like $15 an order at least, average. And I just sat there and calculated just in the time it took us to eat our lobster rolls, I watched them do $2,500 in business in less than an hour. And that's great numbers for even a physical restaurant. I mean, I used to own pizzerias. I used to own some carry-out delivery pizzeria places, Hungry Howie's, put the brand out there, what the heck, way back in the day, too. And, you know, a $10,000 week was a good week for a carry-out pizza place. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching a truck do that in a day. Whoa.
Yep. Yeah, I've been to a few food truck rallies before we got into the food truck. We went to a number of different food truck rallies to see how it works, see how it operates, what's happening, what they have to offer. Because you don't want to try to repeat a lot of what's happening. Like if you... if you went to a food truck rally and there's four trucks serving Philly cheesesteaks, you don't want to go get a Philly cheesesteak truck. You want to try to do something a little different, unless you got some special recipe that's going to outshine everybody else. But, you know, you go to the rallies and you check out what the competition is and you just see how they operate. And the good thing about food truck people is you can ask them questions about the business. People will tell you. They're happy to tell you. Oh, you want to come inside my truck? Open the door. Come see what we're doing. You know,
you think they'd be real secretive and not want to give away their, you know, their proprietary methods? No. All the ones that I know are proud of what they've accomplished.
Yeah.
They want to show it off.
They won't give you their recipe, but they'll show you how to work it.
Yeah, I've got one friend who's running a food truck in Florida, in the Tampa area. And once they got that thing outfitted and got it going, for the next week, every day, he was sending me pictures. Check out this new thing we're making. Oh, look at this new equipment and all that kind of stuff. They were just proud of it. And I like
that.
People who are in business for themselves have a whole different take on things than they do working for somebody else.
Exactly. It's great.
So, Andrea, we've got a couple of callers waiting. So what I want to do here real quick is read on Twitter. We've got a tweet from Helen Burrell. She says, my inkling for today, wow, Andrea Wingler has pulled off two of my faves, writing giftedness and food on wheels. how to start and run your own food truck business in Florida is a step-by-step guide that takes you from good idea to great success. Okay, whatever you can get out of it. Thanks, Dr. Helen Burrell. That was a great tweet. And then, Bean, why don't we roll a commercial, get one of the commercials out, and then take a couple of callers.
All righty. We will roll a commercial, and we will hit these callers when we're done.
And this is a new commercial.
Lucifer loses his day job, so he starts his own gig. A little girl's tantrum destroys her toys, but will they lash out in revenge? Can a miserable housewife find a new life for herself in a tear-stained old painting? Eerie charms of the short story, fantasy, mystery, and horror includes a snake deciding the fate of the world, a slot machine choosing life's winners and losers, a malevolent fairy dancing men to their deaths, a couple desperate to escape a train station, the dog show judge facing death, and more great tales. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Eerie Charms is available worldwide in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Patricia A. Guthrie offers a cauldron of eerie delights that will please, delight, and yet terrify you.
All right. That's a new video that we just made this week, so get over to YouTube, check it out, make sure you hit that like button, and if you haven't already subscribed, do that. Pat Guthrie's real proud of that video. She has called me three times this week to tell me, I was just watching that video, and I want to tell you again, I really like this one. So it's kind of fun when we get those kind of phone calls. We have a lot of fun making these, and Pat brings us some good projects that are easy to visualize. So, yeah, go check that out. Eerie Charms. It's on our YouTube channel.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to take the first caller who's been on hold for a while now since the beginning
of
the
caller.
Show. This is going to be area code 708. Hello, caller. You are on the air. Welcome to the show. What is your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Pat Guthrie. I don't know if
people
just talked about my book.
We were just talking about you. We just played your commercial.
Just played your commercial.
All right.
Welcome to the show,
really
Pat.
I'm fascinated with Andrea's book.
Okay.
I wanted to know, I know she's basically in Florida, but I'm just wondering if she's ever done Taste of Chicago.
Have I ever done Taste of Chicago?
Yeah. You want to explain what that is, Patricia, for people who don't know?
Okay. It's up in Grand Park in Chicago, and it's a huge thing around the 4th of July. It goes for 2 or 3 days. It gets millions of people up here. I've been there a couple of times. I didn't particularly care for it. Loved the different venues that were there, pizzas and all kinds of different things. I would imagine that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I
have not been to Taste of Chicago itself, but have been to Chicago and have introduced myself to many of the foods up there. Of course, the Chicago type pizza, the deep dish pizza,
yes.
and the Chicago hot dog especially. But I've been up there for food investigations, if you would, testing and trying, but I have not done the Taste of Chicago. I have to put that on my list.
I was wondering how you liked working there, if you did work there. And
no, I haven't worked here. I have been
up here.
Yeah, Chicago's one of those cities that has lots of festivals and events and stuff, too. Like last summer, co-host Beam Weeks and I were in Chicago, and they were setting up for Lollapalooza, and they were, which was going to be right downtown at the main park there, close to the waterfront, and they were putting up temporary fencing. And we could see they had long stretches of roadway where they had temporary signs that said reserved for food trucks.
Yeah.
So they were gearing up ready.
Lollapalooza is right near where the Taste of Chicago is.
Okay. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I don't go anymore so much. But when I was younger, I went quite a bit.
So, Pat, you're asking kind of a specific question, but really you're opening the door for making the point of they're everywhere. Every city.
Every city,
everywhere you
Very
go, they're
true.
There.
And especially now that the COVID thing is kind of like, you know, taming down and going away to some extent, people they want to get out. And at least out in the food trucks, it's a crowd, but you're out in the open air. You know, again, try all different things. It's not going to cost you $100 unless you want to. You can just enjoy the place, the food, and the people, you know, in a really nice environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, thank you. I'm going to put that right on my list. Taste of Chicago. Got to head up there.
All right. Do you have any more questions, Patricia?
Yeah.
Not that I can think of at the moment. This conversation is great. Really good.
And,
well, thank you for calling in and being part of it.
Yeah.
Yes, great. Thank you.
And listeners, remember, she's got a new book out, Eerie Charms of the Short Story. Get over there and check it out and check out the new video on YouTube.
Yeah. So let's move on to the next caller. This is going to be area code 407. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. You are on the air, and where are you calling from?
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
And I know that voice, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is Kanoi.
Yeah.
Hi, Kanoi.
Hi,
welcome
how are
back.
You guys?
We are happier, doing better now that you've called in, even better.
And hungry.
Well, you know, I've been begging about you guys to everybody.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah, when they said up a book, I was saying, do not write a book until you ask me who my publisher was.
Oh.
And Kanani, that helped me with the book, when I said something about, someone called, one of my coworkers called after she read my book. She said, you've had a fantastic life. And she said, but you mentioned your husband in the first part of the book, but you didn't mention him afterwards. I said, oh, we got divorced. And so she said, well, that's a good topic to write about in your second volume.
There you go.
I said, not no, but hell no. I said, he won't be my friend anymore if I write another book.
do you want to mention the name of your book since we brought it up?
Oh, My Three Wishes by Kanoi King.
All right, My Three Wishes, and it's basically a memoir about your life and your travels, and especially your time as being a exotic dancer, what we'd call Polynesian dancer?
Polynesian dancer,
yeah, especially with your family, putting on a review, going on cruise ships, performing around the world. It's a fun, exciting memoir. And you know Andrea Wingler, the author of our food truck book here, and I believe you worked with her or flew with her at some point, too?
Yeah, we worked together at Continental Airlines.
Yes,
oh, cool.
We did.
And she and I got to be very good friends because we used to go down to Pleasure Island long ago in the 90s, right, Andrea?
Yeah, Disney World.
There. Yeah, and they had Pleasure Island was all nightclubs. So she would always go to Country Western, and I would always go to the disco. We had a group of us going to the disco.
We had a lot of fun, didn't we, Kanoi?
Oh, yeah. And then they took it away and made restaurants out of it. But I really like, you know, when she said she called me about the book, and I told her, I said, you have to get Gary. I said, you are very good, because whenever I had a question, you always was there to answer it, unless you were broadcasting or something, and you would say, I'll call you back. But I said, no matter what time, he was always there, and he didn't make me feel like I was bothering him or rushing, you know. So I said, they did a good job. In fact, I recommended you to another lady. I think she was going to call you about her grandson writing about birds in a book.
That's
and,
interesting.
But you know what? She passed away. She was 96 years old.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so I guess she never got to you, but I brag about you guys all the time.
Great. So have you seen Andrea's Fantastic. Book yet?
No, it's not out yet, right?
No, actually, all of the files came in this morning, and the rest of them came in this afternoon. So as of tonight, it is being published. It's going into pre-sale. It'll probably be Amazon Kindle tomorrow or so, and Barnes & Noble and all the other ebook formats maybe the next day, and by about 2 days from now, the print editions should start showing up. It's going to be in pre-sale for a May 14th release. So watch for it. It'll show up sometime this week. Get out there and place your order, and you will receive your copy. If it's print copy, it'll be shipped May 14th. If it's an ebook copy, it'll be delivered on May 14th. That way it'll give us time to collect some sales and get this thing out there the right way. But it's an excellent book. But, you know, if you know the author, maybe you could get the author to, you know, show you a copy or share it with you a little bit. But
well, actually,
you know,
tomorrow, Kanoe, we get together with some of the Continental people, all the ex-cons, we call them.
Yeah, we're going to see.
Show you. I'll show you the book.
All right.
Oh, yeah, but
cool.
That's one thing I told everybody. I said, they said, how long did it take you to write it? I said, 4 years. And I said, and it took me like a month or two to find a good publisher, because now you can't trust people will take your down payment and you'll never hear from them again. So I had trust issues with that. So it's a good thing. Kamani knew somebody that wrote the book, that writes books with you, and she reached out to her.
Oh,
and
okay.
She was, I can't think of her name now, but she's written several books with you.
Hmm.
And she was the one that led us on the right track. You know, she gave me your name and who to call, and that's how we got started and involved with each other. But I always tell everyone, I'm like, if you're going to write a book, you talk to me first, and I'll tell you who to get and what to do.
So even though you haven't seen Andrea's book yet, would you endorse it? You think she knows what she's talking about?
Well, I know she knows what she's talking about. As an agent, very good. And she and I used to be red coats for Continental, like customer service, where when people have problems, we're the go-to person. So
I know she's
a problem solver, and she knows her work. That's why we get along so well, because I pick my friends. You know, I'm who I have as friends. And even though she retired and she went to JetBlue, every time I have a party at my house, I call her and tell her, I'm having a party, Andrea. So I always have her on my mind. You know, it's not like she left and nobody remembers her.
No.
Yeah.
No, we keep in touch. Yes, we do. You're making me blush, Kanoe. You're making me blush.
Yeah. Well, Kanoe, we really appreciate you calling in and helping endorse Andrea's book and help us get the word out there. And, of course, if you actually order a copy from somewhere, make sure you go back and leave a review. You know, give it that 5 stars and leave a review wherever you order from so it's a verified purchase. And that really helps sell the book as well. You're probably discovering that with My 3 Wishes, too.
Well, you know what I wanted to tell you, too? I went on Google, and I Googled my name, And there was a picture of a blonde lady on there with who I didn't even recognize. So I clicked on her, and she had four or five reviews, and they were all excellent reviews. And my girlfriend looked at it. She said, Kanoe, she's in Belgium.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, I wonder how she found out about my book. And all the people were, they don't even know me, and they were outstanding. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything better. I mean, their reviews were better than the ones that I saw on Amazon.
All right, yeah. Yeah, we do the international distribution, and sometimes when authors come to us, they're not that interested in that. This book will only sell in this country. And then they get surprised sometimes at how they'll bounce around the world and get attention. The world is shrinking. There's no doubt. Social media is worldwide, and people learn about things, hear about things, and they're interested.
Well, they were surprised because they said even though it was an autobiography, it was different because it showed how I was a little girl and how I was brought up and how things have changed. So they were very interested in that.
Mm.
So that's, you guys are really good. I'm glad I got you.
Well, thank you. You're making us all blush now. But again, thanks for calling in, Kanoe. We're going to move on here and play another commercial now and then talk to Andrea some more about the book and help us spread the word. We appreciate all your support.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye, guys.
Right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, we do have another caller, so after this commercial, we can take that caller as well.
Good.
All right, here's another commercial.
Now, from science fiction master Robert G. Willescroft, the Oort Federation, to the stars, the second Oort Chronicle. As the Oort Federation becomes a major force in the solar system, Braxton Thorpe passes the Federation chairmanship to former U.S. President John Butler. Thorpe's group offers humanity virtual immortality, but Isidore Orlov and his Udakhni Enterprises oppose their every move. While Thorpe's group terraforms Mars for more living space, the Mars Reds prove formidable as resistors. If the Asterian starship fighter pilots are released, will they align with Phoenix or Udakhni? And who will develop the right FTL technology? In this tense space adventure, Thorpe, his team, and Max the Tabby Cat travel to Proxima Centauri and beyond to the Aster system, 84 light years distant. Will Thorpe bring together humans and Asterians in their quest for intergalactic travel? Will long life prove more than mere humans can handle? Grab Icicle, A Tensor Matrix, The First Oort Chronicle, and continue the journey with the Oort Federation to the stars. Proudly published in all print, digital, and sensory-enhanced audiobooks by Fresh Ink Group.
That's a fun science fiction book. And Max the Cat's becoming quite popular. I think we're going to have to get him on Instagram page.
And
especially
his own website.
Since, not to give away too much, but there might be more than one Emacs by the end of the book. And, again, they're going to be very popular.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and jump back into the phone calls and see what we got going here. This one's going to be another area code 407. Welcome to the show, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm Andrew's partner.
Hi, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Bob. Bob, you might need to turn down whatever you were listening to
because
we're out of sync.
Gotcha. Okay. Done.
All right.
Yep. No, we've been knowing each other for a long time. She always had told me that she wanted to have a food truck. I said, no, they don't make any money, on and on and on.
Yeah.
I always drug my feet. So then finally she said, you know, let's just drug. Well, I heard from a guy from Michigan, one of my old guys I was in the Air Force with. And he said, oh, man, we sold all these things. And I said, well, can you make any money? He said, yes, you can. So that kind of turned my head around. So I started talking to him. Well, maybe we could do this. So
yeah,
that
friend of yours, right? Didn't he? It was him and his son, wasn't it, that did
him
that?
Him and his son, yep.
They
were around Pontiac, Michigan.
Okay.
And he said pretty much he just always would start in April and then go until the fair season was over, and he did all right. I said, what's all right? He said, well, we made about
$400,000. Wow.
Wow, that's and then what the guy did, he sold hot dogs only.
Wow.
Only hot dogs. So, but he had a food truck, a trailer, and he had rented one out. So, But he did all right.
Wow, that's great. I'm going to let the rest of you finish this podcast because I'm going to go talk to a guy about a truck.
Well, you can. I'm retired. I retired from United Airlines. That's how I got to know Andrea. And
okay.
She worked for Continental, of course. We went back and forth, and then finally the day came when United bought out Continental. So, and we didn't argue anymore about who was the best anymore because we had one airline.
Yeah. And then I retired from Continental. Got bored and went to JetBlue. But anyway, it took that Air Force friend to light that fire under him to want to do the food truck. But now he was very happy with it once we got going.
Oh, cool.
Well, we did pretty good. Yep.
Hey, Andrew is exactly right. You do a lot of work. It's sometimes it's 10, 12-hour days. But, you look at what you get paid. It's not that wasn't bad. It was worth it. And I did most of the driving and everything. And but she would talk to the event coordinators and to get things lined up for us. But, I got to say, it was fun. Meeting people and food is two things that I like to do, too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We had a good run with it.
And plus with the, being in a food truck, I mean, you got to travel. You're not in the same location day in and day out. You're seeing different places, too. And I think that's kind of an added benefit.
Well, it is.
Oh, definitely.
Florida, there's just so many people moving in there from different cultures, different states, different places, different countries. So we always enjoy talking to people, and they always start up a conversation, and they wouldn't leave because they want to sell some more hot dogs to them. So, and they buy one, and then they leave. But we enjoy doing it. We really do. It's fun, and we made some money at it. And that's how we went into it. I mean, we actually bought our trailer, so we built it from the ground up. And the interesting thing about this particular book is that this is pretty much for Florida because nobody wrote one for just Florida. Most of them were written for West Coast and someplace else. But this spotlights what we had to do with Florida. When we bought it, we'd open one door and there'd be two behind it. So it took a lot of time to actually get set up. But then we thought, let's just write a book about our experience. That's what we have.
And the other books that we noticed were very general. They were very generalized. That's why we wanted to get specific, in Florida in particular. As Bob said, so many people are moving in from all over the place, and work is not as accessible and such a variety of work as you would have up north, like in New York or in California or whatnot. So we wanted to put it down as a guide of all the different steps you need to take, because every time we went, got one license, it's like, okay, you got that license. Good. Now you need this license and you have to do this and this and this. It's like, oh my God. Okay. What's next? What next? And anybody that we spoke to, or even like we went downtown to City Hall, of course, to get the Orlando license, nobody had all the answers and told you all the parts as you went along. So we said, you know what? We should write this all out. We should write a book for people who want to start, just so they know what the heck is going on, what inspections you need. We remember, Bob, when we were in New Smyrna Beach, and we had everything down pat. We had everything good, and then the fire, because at times the fire department or the health department will come and just check all the trucks that are around just to see if everybody's got everything in order.
Which
and
is
what
good.
Were we missing, Bob? We were missing chucks to put under the wheel. Like, nobody ever said anything about chocks under the wheel. Like, oh, okay.
No,
I can see it.
Like, it's all these little details of things. It's like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, when you get into that kind of situation where you do have to have health departments or deal with different bureaucracies and stuff, it can be a bit of a downside. I had to deal with that with my pizzerias because it takes some time and energy and stuff. But on the other hand, they're the ones that are keeping it honest. They're keeping the reputation of the entire food truck industry up. You don't want somebody running a halfway operation and people get sick
Right, absolutely.
People get hurt.
That would be very, very bad for business.
Yeah, for all of the trucks.
Bad news travels real fast.
Yeah, so.
And that's why we wanted to, put as much info in there as we could think. and get it all
well,
down.
That's a stroke of genius, putting it all into one book.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. Yep, thanks.
Yep, and as I mentioned before, we're going to be talking about maybe doing some other states in this series, too, once we can work out a deal and get this thing going. But I just think the potential is unlimited. I think every state could have a book, and we might even have to branch out to Europe or other places as well, too. This could be a major hit series. And right now, Florida is where we're starting, and we'll see how this goes, and we'll go from there.
Absolutely.
The most important thing here is that we want to find all the steps. I'm a pilot. So you have to have a checklist. Okay,
yep.
So I've been flying since I was 16 years old. But the whole thing is that I want to make sure I knew what I was doing. So we went through all these steps, and we pretty much got them written in our book, what you need to know and what you have to do. And
what you can expect.
Yeah, this took us a long time. We started writing the book about 8, 10 months ago. And Andrea just did a great job. She's a real whiz about putting things together. So, and I encourage her a lot. And I think that we've gotten a very good product here that tells people what to do.
Yep.
And that's all I
have.
Well,
thanks,
that's
Bob.
That's all I have. Yep, that's all I have.
Thanks for calling in, Bob.
Thanks for calling in, Bob.
Maybe Bob, before you go, do you have one last like cautionary tale? What's the thing that surprised you or went wrong, or do you want to warn people about to make sure they're careful?
Yes. One of the things that I did a lot, I would usually do the cooking, and she would run the window. And a lot of times I would have a little stool. I'd just sit back, kind of lean myself back on the sink. Well, unfortunately, a lot of times I'd put the water on, and I'd forget to turn it off. and I got wet more than one time, and she gets so mad. And she says, "Bob, what are you doing?" So I had to drill holes in the floor to get rid of the water. I did it once. Then I did it just one time. I did it more than once, like 3-4 times. And
what is that noise, Bob?
So that was one of the things that it was just me. But I was just so excited about doing what I'm doing. So. But that was one of the things I can pass along. Watch out for the water.
Watch out for the water. Drill those holes in the floor if you know it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And the only other thing I can think is that one time we went down to Disney. We were invited down there to open up our food truck, and we forgot the cash box. And so then Andrea had to find a way of getting that down to her house and get the cash box, because no cash box and our machine to do. In fact,
the
I
internet
phone was in her.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. You got to follow the checklist. I said, "Did you get it?" "Oh yeah, we got it." "Well, we didn't get it." So
there's
little things
like
that.
I actually had to run around to a couple different supermarkets to get cash. So we had cash on hand. Oh my God, that was funny.
Again, that's part of being in business for yourself. If this was a fixed restaurant, it would be a disaster if you couldn't open on time and all that.
Right.
If it's a food truck, you go do what you got to do, and you come back, and there's people waiting.
Exactly.
Right. Anyway, with the same, thanks for having me, and I'll sign off now.
All right, thanks, Bob.
No, thanks, Bob.
Bye, Bob.
I think it's about time we play the How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business commercial, which is a new video we just made this week. And we want you to go over to YouTube, check it out, like it. It's we actually animated a food truck and for this one. So we had a lot of fun making this one. And anything where we get to look at pictures of food is always going to be fun anyway. But this is AK Wingler's new trailer.
With good jobs so hard to find, especially in rapidly expanding Florida, owning your own food truck could be the best option. It's the least expensive startup, and you can be fully operational in mere months. The rules and regulations can be a bit complex, and no single source has offered all the answers. Until now. How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Florida by food truck veteran A.K. Wingler is the step-by-step guide that takes you from good idea to great success. Sure, it's hard work, but exciting, mobile, flexible, and highly profitable. And you get to be your own boss and set your own hours. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, this book tells you how and where to make money in this exploding independent industry. Grab your copy in laminated hardcover, glossy softcover, or any of the major ebook formats at retailers worldwide. Even if you're just curious for now, this guide is the best way to discover if a food truck business is right for you.
Right.
Good one.
Yeah, and as the commercial emphasizes, you don't have to have made the decision that you're going to start a food truck business. You can just be thinking about it. Just check out the book and see what's involved and see if it gets you excited. If it does, then maybe it's time to make a move. If it doesn't, then maybe find another business. But how else are you going to find out? You should get a copy of this book. Check it out.
Yeah. Food trucks. Definitely. I mean, they're the big thing nowadays.
Yeah.
So, Andrea,
yes.
Childhood, what kind of a child were you? Were you a foodie back when you were a kid, or is this something that came later?
You know what? I really was. One of the first toys that I ever got, it was not an easy bake oven, but Campbell's Soup used to have a little cook set. Still have that cookbook. For kids on how to, like, you know, heat soup up in a pot and make this little sandwich, you know, peanut butter sandwich. But that was one of the first toys I had. My God, I was tiny. I was like 4 or 5 years old. Yeah, I've always been a foodie. Yep. Started working in the first place I ever worked that I got paid for was in the Rizzuto Berra Bowling Alley in Clifton, New Jersey. It was actually owned by Phil Rizzuto and Yogi Berra. And
really?
Yes, they did. Yes, when they had their opening, all the Yankees were
Peter
down there.
Rizzuto.
Yep.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was fun. The snack bar was called the Dugout. That's where my first waitressing paid job. It was cool. That was fun. But even as a little kid, my mom worked in a bakery in town, like across the street from where we lived, and. We used to go over there, the owners, they used to let me and my sister pack cookies at Christmas. But the bakers would take me, and he was kind of having me be an apprentice of sorts. Even as a kid, he used to cut out the cookies. I used to put the cherries in them because I was real specific about everything being just so and nice. So that was great fun. I just love being around food and having people eat and enjoy their dinner and all kinds of stuff.
Mm.
I'm a foodie. I'm a big foodie.
Yeah. Your truck was called Albedo's, is that right?
No, it was called Andebo's.
Andebo's.
Actually, Bob came up with that. Yep. Andrea
Andebo's.
Bob.
Mm-hmm. And we see pictures of it. We see in the book, we see before and after the way you modified the truck. And we see floor plans and a whole bunch of helpful information that's all packed into that book. What was your menu like?
Our menu was not real big. We served Italian style hot dogs, which is something that I did not originate. It came out of Newark, New Jersey, this little place called Dickie's, and it's a large hot dog in a good hoagie roll with potatoes, peppers, and onions on it. It's really good.
Wow,
and then
like a meal.
You had side dishes?
Sometimes I would make Mexican corn. We didn't do French fries because we didn't bother with the fryer. We had the fryer, but we didn't really bother with it. We would do chips and pickles and that kind of thing with it. And then sometimes we would have pulled pork and pulled pork sandwiches. And we would have, hot dogs, a couple different kinds of hot dogs, chili dog, cheese dog, and kids. You got to have the plain hot dogs for kids. And then we would make a combo special, you know, hot dog with stuff. So we just did a lot of hot dog things for the most part.
And then you had drinks as well?
Oh, yeah. We always had drinks. We actually had a large variety of drinks. Sometimes you'll see, like, one Coke, one Sprite, you know, maybe. Usually everybody's always got a bottle of water, a diet soda. But we used to have, because we had a lot of Spanish, we did a lot for Disney with a construction crew that was working on the hotels. And this held us through a lot of the COVID stuff. We would do lunches there with them. So, and part of being a good foodie is knowing what your culture, what culture's like in particular.
Yeah.
So we would have grape soda. We would have orange soda. We would have the Coke, we would have the diet soda. We had Powerade, a couple different flavors of that. So we would have, like, you know, maybe 10 kinds of drinks.
Yeah, and if you're not sure what your audience is going to want, see what they ask for. You got 10 people asking for that grape soda today. Tomorrow, have some grape soda there. You know, it's not that hard to do. It's like steering a big ship or a little ship. You can be real flexible in your menu and your supplies and the things that you offer with a food truck that you can't do with a restaurant.
No, exactly. And I learned a whole lot about that working at the Manor, which was a huge banquet house. I mean, it was the place to have weddings or parties or bar mitzvahs in the New York, New Jersey area. But what the most interesting part about it was that it was almost like a psychology study. You had the same type of situation going on, but you had different ethnic groups. So you had African-American groups doing certain things. You had Japanese wanted certain things. You know, everybody has their likes and dislikes. Now, if you want a successful food business or taking care of these parties, you better know what your people like. You know, it's not a question of stereotype, and it's not a question of talking against the culture or anything. You want to make people happy, you have to know what they're like. Like the Japanese, they like red eggs on their table. It's some kind of good luck thing. And sometimes they don't tell you these things, but when you get to work with them a lot and you get to see, so I would zero in on, you know, the group, what kind of group, and make sure that they had the things that they really loved at the venue that they were paying for, because they were paying a lot of money for some of these things. But it was great fun. It was just great fun.
That's just good business, too.
Yeah.
People spend too much time being annoyed.
Yeah, I keep coming back to that word flexible, too, because when I had the pizzerias, they were franchises. And, you know, you're not flexible. You have to use their menus and their everything that's their way and their systems, and you're ordering your food from them. And I had pizzerias in southern Michigan, which is kind of sort of rural. You know, they'd have the town, but then there'd be a lot of farmland around it. And back in the 1980s, all of a sudden, pineapple and ham pizzas became hot. I'll never quite understand it, but all of a sudden, Hawaiian pizzas, I mean, we would get like, you know, 200 calls a day, people ordering pizzas, and all of a sudden, it was like 180 of them wanted Hawaiian pizzas. I wasn't allowed to sell those. As a franchisee, I was not allowed to sell them because it was not on the menu. Well, you know, people who know me aren't surprised when I say we sent the manager down to the store and bought, you know, 10-gallon cans of chopped pineapple, and we started selling Hawaiian pizzas because the flexibility is there. And with a food truck, all you need is people saying, hey, what about this? What about this? What about this? And you can turn quickly and adapt and be ready for them next time.
Well, that's how I made Mexican corn that time. I'm like, oh, Mexican corn? Yeah. They would ask for different things. Exactly. You know, and then you learn something new too. It's a lot of fun. Just so much fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to have – it's not all fun. You got to have your business hat on as well.
Oh, yeah. But you do get to taste everything you serve.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Well, do we have the How to Teach Driving commercial? Is that one queued up?
We do.
Get that in? All right. We're almost out of time here. We're going to go ahead and play this last commercial here because this is for the book for next week's guest. He's putting out a pair of books on how to teach driving. It's an instructor's manual, teach instructors. And then there's a parent's manual for parents of teenagers and young adults who want to help them learn to be better drivers. So we're going to go ahead and play the world premiere of his new commercial here, and then we'll come back and finish up with Andrea.
All right.
Whether you're a parent or professional instructor, How to Teach Driving, Lesson by Lesson, shows how to teach fundamental driving in a logical sequence. Instill confidence in your students or family members while helping them practice their skills in a safe setting before they need them on the road. You will practice diagnosing and analyzing driving errors, especially steering errors, so you can explain and correct them before they become dangerous habits. Academy founder Kenneth Lindquist includes a wide variety of tips, such as how to avoid hugging the center line and to take proper seatbelt use seriously. This instructor's edition of How to Teach Driving and its companion Parents Edition are the perfect partners to written guides because they translate the classroom's two-dimensional concepts into three-dimensional skills. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, both editions of How to Teach Driving are found everywhere in laminate hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Whether your region requires driving instructor training and certification, or you simply want to be the best at helping beginners learn road safety, this book is the place to start.
All right. Now, that's not a video commercial yet. We're still in the process of making it. We expect to have that up by early next week. So don't go looking for it on YouTube yet. But do plan on tuning in for next week's show, because Kenneth Lindquist, he's founder of the Red Mountain Driving Academy here in Alabama. And this guy knows his stuff. In fact, we were working on his project when I was in my wreck last November and got my hands broken. And boy, he had 1,000 questions about what happened and did this happen and all that kind of stuff. He's seriously into this. So he's a fascinating guest. We're looking forward to having him.
Yeah, fantastic. Looking forward to having him. Now, before we go, Andrea, do you have any advice for would-be authors now that you're an author?
For other authors?
Yeah.
Or people who want to start a food truck business.
Or people who want to start a food truck business.
What's your big golden nugget for today?
My golden nugget for today. Well, if you're going to be an author, make sure that you pick the right time of day that's comfortable for you, where you won't be disturbed, where you can actually, you know, get into what you're thinking of to do the writing. Not have noise around, or, you know, it might be 4 a.m. or it might be 4 p.m, but just to get your comfort zone going on that, I found that to be very, very helpful. And again, on a food truck, if you want a food truck, get the book, research it first.
Research
what it's all about. And if you like it, go for it.
That's the best advice ever. Okay. So the book is How to Start and Run a Food Truck Business in Florida. The author is A.K. Wingler. And, Andrea, how do people get a hold of you? Out there on Facebook, Instagram, social media, websites?
We do want
to mention that we are building a website for Andrea right now. It's just not up yet, but we will be promoting that in the coming weeks in the newsletter and on future podcasts as well.
Yeah, right now I'm just on Facebook, so you can find me there.
Okay, and what name do they put in? How do they find you?
Just Andrea Wingler.
Andrea Wingler. Okay, and that's W-I-N-G-L-E-R, and
yes.
Andrea, the usual spelling. So look for Andrea on Facebook. And, of course, always, if you want to get a hold of Andrea, if you got a question for her, want to make a comment or whatever, we've got a contact form at freshinkgroup.com. We always like hooking up our authors with the fans out there and, you know, helping spread the word. Andrea, it's been fun having you on. I am so hungry now. I can't wait to get off here and go make something to eat.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Been a pleasure.
Yes, it has.
So next week, as I've already mentioned, we've got Kenneth Lindquist, founder of Red Mountain Driving Academy. He's got 2 books, How to Teach Driving, the Parents Edition and the Instructors Edition. And then after that, Bean?
After that, we've got Joe Conjo. He is a author. He writes the Tony Rezzolito PI novels, and he also writes short fiction, and just an interesting guy, so tune in for that.
Yeah, we discovered him when I was a guest on the Meet the Author podcast from Robin Joan Carter 3 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, something like that, and he participated in that when we discovered his books and discovered him, and we decided to have him on the show. He's a fascinating guy, and he's a good writer. And then after that, we've got Sally Cronin from Ireland. We're going to be recording a show from Ireland. She's a poet, a fiction writer, and she writes Shaggy Dog stories as well. So we're looking forward to hearing some good Irish accent on this podcast. I'm not even going to try one myself.
I don't know if she's actually Irish or she moved to Ireland.
She moved to Ireland? Okay, we'll have to find out how that went.
Because I know she was here in the States for a while, so we'll find out, though.
Yeah, we'll find out. I haven't talked to her yet, so this will be fascinating. But,
again,
we want to thank Andrea Wingler, A.K. Wingler, author
thank
of
you, Andrea.
Run a Food Truck Business, for being on the show.
Thank you,
Andrea.
Again.
All right.
Thank you so much, guys. You're great.
Listeners, we'll see you next week.
See you next week, everybody.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.